Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Oh, you're saying you're making a joke of my personnel moves, what you're telling me?
Yeah, I am.
This won't stand. I will address this tomorrow morning. Isn't that right, Hugh?
That's about right.
Thanks, Hugh.
You know, John, it might have worked when they didn't throw forward passes, but I don't know if that'd work these days. So I'm just
you know, Squidbilly, I've had enough of your impertinence. I'm glad you're with Dukes and Bell now. And by the way, we're celebrating the birthday of Hannes Wagner today, a good drinking buddy of mine, later today in Guy Talk. Back to you.
In 1969, the Bulls played the Bucks in the opening game of the NBA season. The Bucks killed the Bulls. Man, the Bucks are going to be a handful when Lou Alcindor gets back because they've got this new guy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
yep.
Great too. I didn't understand name changes. I was nine.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
is that with leap year?
It is Dukes and Bell, man, on a Friday. Boy, there's a lot going on. That's really funny. That nice job, Chris. So Mike, before we get into some college football, we're going to talk more about Brian Snitker. By the way, one of the MLB superstars, because he is, talks about this division, and we'll tell you what he had to say coming up. What's the deal with the All-Star game, man?
Yeah, our sister station up in New York, WFAN, reporting that Kevin Durant will need additional recovery for his hamstring injury that's going to keep him out through the NBA All-Star break here in Atlanta. MRI on his left hammy determined that Durant's going to need additional recovery time, Carl. Latest images provided a clearer picture of the hamstring. And so, per Woj, Indiana's Sabonis, remember Sabonis' kid, going to replace Durant in the NBA All-Star game. Unknown if Durant will be replaced as a captain.
Okay. I'm trying to look back and see who sent us this, because I know my man Mike Conti also commented on it. Listen, Sabonis is a very good player, all right? There's no doubt about it. But this is a situation where if you felt like, okay, Trey, he's not a starter. Okay, maybe this year he's on the reserves, but you know what? This is the amount of guys we're going to take. Here's a situation, and you're having the game here, that if you were going to make any other selection, you would go, all right, yeah, Trey is going to be the next guy up.
The first player in 30 years, Carl, to average 25 or more points, 9 or more assists, and not make an All-Star team. We're going to get more national pub. We get more national games in the second half of the season. But, again, whether it's a matter of, you know, Luka not hitting a game. I mean, Luka's hitting game-winning shots and Trey not. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's suffering from Luka syndrome, but it's ridiculous. I'm done complaining about it, and I hope that he's ticked off, and I hope that Trey uses that as fuel to just light people up in the second half.
DeMontis, yeah. Sabonis. Sabonis is a very good player, guys. But so is Trey.
Yeah.
And this
in his home building. In his
correct.
Home building.
And that's if this was going to be in Indiana, you go, all right, yeah, that makes sense. All right, fine. The voting is played out, and this bugs me. It absolutely does. And yeah, and my man Mike Conti said, absolutely ridiculous. This is indefensible. So BJ hit us up and said, this is even more disrespect. And I don't disagree with that. All right, man. See? And by the way, the Kevin Durant thing, you know, who knows what that's about? The Nets, when all three of those guys are playing, they can be as good as anybody in the league. And right now, Utah's playing the best basketball of any team. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you, Mike. That's disappointing, upsetting in many ways when you go, yeah, we'll just leave Trey off again. All right, man, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. There is a lot going on today. Our thanks to Hayden Hurst, who stopped by. If you missed that interview, go online at radio.com. Hayden Hurst, his family foundation, they're doing their first annual here, but he's done it for a while now. His golf contest, foundation golf tournament, mm-hmm. happening March 29th. And for more information, go to 929thegame.com and the Hayden Hurst Foundation.com for more information. Guys were asking us last hour about spots and trying to get in and all that stuff. It's out there on the web, so go check it out. But he talked about the offense and just, you know, wanting to improve and all of that. And guys were asking the question, you know, how do we know, you know, what do we really know the level of what Hayden Hurst is? And I said, I don't know. I just responded to a guy. He goes, basically saying, how good can Hayden Hurst be? I don't know if we've seen that yet. I've seen him stretch the field. I didn't see a lot of that this year, because that's not how we used him. But he even said, Mike, in the interview, you know, red zone, they started using him a little bit more late in the season. Right. He just wants to use his ability to exploit defenses, and I hope that Arthur Smith uses what he's got. He is one of the faster tight ends in the league, guys, but we really didn't get a chance to see him do a lot of that stretching the field and the seam stuff last year.
Yeah, and I know that he's never going to – I mean, he was polite about it, but I think just like we talked about this with Capella, when we asked Clint Capella yesterday, why aren't you out there late in the game? He said, yes, well, you know, and he kind of deferred, but you kind of got the vibe. Hayden was a pretty solid weapon. I don't know what to make of the personnel groupings. I mean, like, we didn't like the way Todd Gurley was or wasn't used, how much of that was to do with the injury. There was nothing you could really like about Dirk Cutter's offense, save for the first half of the Cowboy game. You know, or the first half of the Bears game.
Yeah, but then we also got three turnovers in that game, right? I mean, the defense made it easy for the offense in those games.
We talked about, like, the number that Hooper put up his last year here and then what he did in Cleveland. I mean, I think Hooper probably does the same here. I mean, we like Hayden Hurst. He's a good fit for the franchise. And as he said, now, Joy, he's got to learn his fourth playbook now in 4 years. But there was just nothing that made any sense about how Cutter used a lot of guys, including Hayden Hurst.
Hey, find us on social media. We appreciate it. Give us your thoughts on that, man. I mean, is that disrespecting Trey, or is that just, hey, you know, we're going to take the next guy?
Oh, yes, disrespecting Trey.
It is. It is, completely. That's how I feel. 404-741-0929. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. Hey, man, let's talk some college football and the Dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
We do it every day. We talk college football. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
B-R-I-T-E, BrightboxElectrical.com. They did the whole job here for my place. You can do it for you guys. Condos, too, just something simple, Carl, like putting TVs up on a wall. Don't do that job. You'll jack it up. Let the pros do it all the way to backup generators for your home. BrightboxElectrical.com.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than paying for a TV and then seeing it fall off the wall. You're right. Hey, this morning, I put out a tweet talking about Isaiah Wilson. He was a first-round pick from the Dogs. You guys follow Georgia football. You know Isaiah Wilson was, speaking, pardon the pun, a dog on that offensive line. The Titans draft him in the first round, and the kid plays 4 snaps last year. Then he has some off-the-field things that went on. And, you know, again, he's not beating anybody up. He hadn't been to jail. But the fact is, he's been more of a distraction than anything. Right. And I said, Mike, you know, we're always talking about our offensive line and how to improve.
No.
So here the Titans are trying to shop Isaiah Wilson. And again, first-round talent is one thing. But I said he needs to grow up for me, and I don't believe that he's mature enough to roll the dice and take a chance. But here guys are saying, you know what, Dukes and Bell, I saw guys like Antonio Brown get a second chance. Okay, that's true. I've seen other guys around this league.
Antonio Brown was successful for a decade in the NFL.
Correct. And that's if you're telling me there's a history of success, that's one thing. I don't even know what Isaiah Wilson is. I don't know how good of an offensive lineman he can be in the NFL. So my point is we talk about how to improve our O-line and, you know, well, this makes sense. We could trade and he's still young. There's too many ifs with that situation for me.
Yeah, I mean, I love the, you know, we like the guy. We talked about him maybe being a piece that we might try to add, you know, to beef up the O-line just, you know, on a fly.
Glad we didn't draft him.
Well, I mean, you cannot ever get that metric or what's going on between the ears. You got 15 minutes at the combine. And, of course, you know, we talked about how strange this year was. It's a shame because everybody we've spoken to, Connor Riley and Jeff Sentell, nobody had this inkling he was going to be a wacko, you know, or at least, if you know, sorry if I offend those, very immature at the bare minimum when he was up there in Nashville. It made no sense. I mean, it was just everything he did to tick off the organization, he checked that box.
Yeah. So, for me, again, if you're asking as a Falcon fan, why wouldn't we do it? I'm not trying to absorb more risk when it comes to unproven guys. If he was a proven guy, to Mike's point, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in the league, maybe a Pro Bowl or two, I might feel differently about it. 4 snaps, and his head's not screwed on right. Meanwhile, as we talk college football, guys, Alabama! Mike, Nick Saban's never retiring. 5-star quarterback Ty Simpson commits to Alabama over Clemson and Tennessee. Now you're going, wait a minute, they got quarterbacks, don't they? Yes, this would be for 2022.
Right, okay. But that's the way Georgia, and again, this is the way it's supposed to work. And eventually if somebody's feeling gets hurt, one leaves, another one enters. Two men enter, one man leaves. So you don't get caught over the eight ball in a gap year like Georgia was last year. So yes, Alabama, Georgia now has got a bunch of guys all lined up, and hopefully they will honor their commitments. But Alabama, that doesn't surprise me.
No, his top three choices were Clemson, Alabama, Tennessee. We've got, you know, we just went through the early signing period this month, as early the last national signing day, if you want to call it that, earlier this month. So he's got 10 months before he can officially commit. But he's like, listen, 5-star quarterback, one of the top recruits in the country, and Alabama made a splash with him, so he's going to Alabama. But this is why we keep saying, like, they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Nick Saban may have had his best recruiting class ever.
Yeah, I don't know where Tommy Bush was ranked as far as a recruit, but Mark Weiser, our buddy out in Athens, reporting that wide receiver Tommy Bush has put his name in the transfer portal. And I wasn't trying to be a Weisenheimer. I literally went on Twitter and go, who? He's a wide receiver, Carl, who left Georgia and really didn't get a chance to like make a lot of plays because there's a lot of guys in that wide receiver room. Fourth-year junior, telling the Banner Herald his name is in the transfer portal, played in 2 games in 18, another in 2019 for the Dogs.
Meanwhile, guys, I have not believed in Jim Harbaugh. I've been very critical of him since he got the job just because, you know, he got paid on the idea of coming in and being that transformative coach to lead Michigan back to the promised land. That hasn't happened. So, Mike, now there's been an overhaul of his staff, and I mean literally overhaul. So he got rid of a bunch of guys on the staff. He's trying to improve all of this stuff. 6 new assistants, including a new DC and Mike McDonald. And so now, you know, the thought is, oh, yeah, this is what he needed. This isn't what he needed. He needs to beat Ohio State. And I don't know when he's going to do that. And he needs to find a quarterback. And he needs to – there's like 7 needs. I don't know if changing staffs, Mike, this is just to take the heat off of Harbaugh, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean we always joke around that Michigan was really, really, really hoping that some NFL team would be dumb enough to bring Harbaugh back to the league and get him off the payroll, but they do redo the contract. I don't know what to make of him. He's putting some guys in the end. There's a couple of Michigan players on the especially on the defensive side that you might be interested in the NFL draft, but no. I mean, that Harbaugh brand went – how many stories we talked about, Carl, where Harbaugh was Harbaugh in the South, Harbaugh here, Harbaugh there. It's like he was popping up like whack-a-mole, right? And at the end of the day, what has he done?
Nothing.
You Wolverine fans, you get nothing. And then, by the way, I still think Michigan – it was a screw job on Ohio State to not play that game because they knew they were going to get boat raced.
I do too. I think so. It was just another year for them to say, "Ah, we'll take this beat down." So either way, and I only say this and report this, guys.
Reshuffling the deck.
Yeah, you know, and I think again now it's well, oh look, he changed all his coaches. Well, I just think whatever coaches were there, it's still his ship to right. You know, right. He's the captain.
Well, he's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as the joke goes, that some would say, but he's still getting paid.
Quote, I've got the right guys on board. We're working hard, coaching hard. I feel really good about where the staff is. That's what quote from Harbaugh.
Working hard, coaching hard.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Hey, man, again, talking college football, we're going to talk about our Braves coming up. What's up?
I'm sorry, I just came across one little nugget from Saturday Down South I meant to mention earlier. We're just talking about recruiting and, you know, the typical classes for Alabama. Real quick, you've asked me, is Tennessee ever, ever, ever going to find the star quarterback?
Yes.
Well, apparently 2022 is supposed to make his choice today, Ty Simpson.
Mike, I just talked about that.
He's not
commits to Crimson.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm going back to the story. They're saying that this was a guy they were hanging. Tennessee was hanging their hat on.
Gotcha.
And now there is no plan B up in Knoxville.
Yeah. No. That's what I was talking about. This kid is going to Alabama. It just gets richer and richer for Bama. Crazy. Hey, man.
And Josh Heupel, by the way, I still don't understand that hire in the first place. He really wasn't doing anything. I know we've talked about that before. But anyway, I was just reading more about Tennessee, and I'm reading some of the comments of Volunteer fans, and you'd think somebody basically just dropped a bomb on Neyland Stadium.
Well, they did. They can't get the recruits they need right now, and to be honest with you, winning breeds winning. and they haven't had enough of that. Hey, man, we'll talk about Brian Sicker's new deal. And are we in the toughest division in baseball? One major league star thinks so. Coming up, Steve Koonin, 20 minutes, CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. And in the Falcon Report today, guys, at 5, we're all worried about the first round pick. There's some other things we should be concerned about. We're going to talk about it coming up at 5. Mike, are we in the toughest division in baseball, the NL East? Do you believe that?
Yes, I think you got to look at the Mets. You look at that lineup, Carl. Look at the heart, like 3, 4, 5, what the Mets are going to be rolling out this year with the moves that they made, you know, bolstering their infield, getting one of the best shortstops in the bigs. You know, if DC is healthy, the Nats have got one of the best 1-2s, right? Again, if they are with Strasburg and Max Scherzer. And the Marlins, they're on a team that's on the come. We had some good battles with the Marlins, and luckily we beat them. But, you know, that's a team that's got a young stud pitching staff and some good position players as well. And the Phillies got, you know, Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Harper came out, Philly superstar. Remember all the money he got? Now, the Phillies haven't won anything since he's been there, but, again, it's hard to not take the money that he was offered there. But he came out and said, he's their right fielder, that he believes this is the best division in baseball. Talking about NL East with the Braves, Phillies, Mike just laid it out. He says, I don't think that there's even a question. He went on to say, we have 5 teams that are really good. I think it's going to be a juggernaut of a division. So, again, we've been very fortunate to win this thing 3 years in a row, but it's not going to be easy. And the Marlins are weird because they're so young and they haven't spent a lot of money. And I said this last year. The Marlins are like, we have nothing to lose. Like, the Marlins come in, and it's one of those things nobody expects them to win. So they're giving you their best every night. There is more pressure on Philly and certainly the Mets than the Marlins. But you're right, Mike. I mean, I look at this division and I go, okay, not only did we put ourselves in position with the stuff that we added as far as starting pitching and the bullpen and bringing Ozuna back, all of this was done with the intention that we're going to have to get through the Dodgers again. But what about just winning our division? I don't think it's going to be easy.
Right. I mean, that's why we had to go get more pitching. You know, and look, I'll still say that, unless we win the World Series, I'll still not shut up about Trevor Bauer. I really wanted to get that guy because we know what we think we have with Ian. But again, it's still, can Ian Anderson continue that? And he certainly seems like a guy with confidence. And Kyle Wright, we think you trust him? And obviously Bryce Wilson came on, but it's all about Soroka and Fried and then the two pieces we added, Smiley. And, you know, certainly, you know, I think we got enough, but it's a tough division, bro. You just laid it out there. I'm not even worried about winning the division. I don't even care if we win. I mean, we're at the stage now where we got to break through and get to the World Series.
Right.
I mean, Charlie Morton was brought here because he's got valuable experience. He's older. And unlike Cole Hamels, we might actually see him in uniform this year. That thing was a debacle from spring training on with Cole Hamels. But regardless, yes, I think this team, if Austin Riley rakes, and also Pache's got to come in and plug in. Right? I mean, those are still 2 question marks. Trying to be a negative Nelly. I believe.
No, big time.
I was just, how surprised were you when Jim Bowden told us, was it last week, that he thinks that Austin Riley's going to have a breakout year?
Well, that's the thing. And as a matter of fact, Chris, let's hear from our manager. This is Brian Snicker. He was asked about Riley at spring training, literally as we speak. Because as I said, for me, as I go through the lineup, you know, and I'll just say this, I'll use check marks, right, as an example. And I go, Acuna, check. Because I know what I'm going to get, right? Freddie, check. Ozuna, he did this with the Cardinals before coming to us. Check. I get to Austin Riley and I go, question mark. I'm not sure. Here's what our manager said about him.
It looks good. I mean, it looks like he's in a really good place. And just physically, he looks really good. And just, you know, watching the coach's BP. I mean, it looks like, you know, his swing's working really good, and I'm just kind of talking to him and all. He's in a good place right now.
And so is Snicker with his new contract.
Yes, he is. An extension that keeps him here probably through 2024. And I say that because it's a club option. Again, Snicker's not making $8 million a year. He's not one of the highest paid managers. He's a lifer, but he loves it. And I think he's just perfect for our situation. That doesn't mean he's not making great money, considering, you know, but he's not one of those guys where you go, oh, he's just making way too much. So I'm sorry, Chris, say again. Oh, let's hear from Bryce Harper. Yeah, thank you, because that's what I was waiting on. Let's hear from Bryce Harper on this division.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the best division in baseball. I don't think that's even a question. We have, you know, five teams in this. We have five teams or four in the division? Five, right? Five team in this division that are really good. Really good pitching, really good young pitching, good bullpens, good lineups. So I think this is going to be a juggernaut of a division. I love playing in Philadelphia too. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I can take advantage of that and be Bryce and just be myself here in Philadelphia. They've never once said to me, calm down or do this or do that. We want you to be this type or that type. They've kind of just let me, you know, be me, and they've liked that as well. And I really appreciate the Philly organization for doing that for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The Mets are really good, too. And I know we don't want to believe that, but I think they're going to be the team, I think, Mike, we're going to ultimately have to battle this division. I'm more concerned right now, me, about the Mets than I am Philly. And then even the Marlins or the Nationals before the Marlins and Philly. So just because of the starting pitching. But I do think that he's on to something when he says, you know, this division is going to be a juggernaut. It really is, guys. I don't think we run away with this division by 15 games. I just don't.
No, guys have gotten better. But don't you feel, though, when the experience that we've got, where we've been, and that's why when you have these moments, and I'm not trying, I don't want to fall into Atlanta-itis on a Friday. We're in a good mood. But when you've got the Dodgers, with all that they bring to bear on the ropes,
right,
and you can't finish them off, you know, and then things start to happen, and then strange things start to happen, you know, base running errors, all the things we've talked about when we kind of evaluated, did Snicker deserve the contract extension? I think Snicker has exceeded all expectations. He's basically been more Bobby Cox than Bobby Cox, and it's been okay. You know, Carl, when you win 90 games twice and you're able to juggle all the lineup changes and all the things that he did, that's what he makes even last year even more frustrating. We overcame, like everybody else, all the craziness of COVID, all the things they had to deal with all the injuries, not having a pitching staff, having to break all the young guys out there and see what they could do. I mean, Snicker really does deserve some more consideration almost every year for Manager of the Year.
I agree. I thought he should have won it last year. Here's the thing to remember about our Braves. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve Coonan's on the way, Hawks CEO, in less than 10 minutes. We'll also get into the Falcon Report coming up here at 5 o'clock. We had last year the second most home runs. Okay, we ranked second in home runs. And a lot of people looked at our rotation, and this was before the playoffs, and said, yeah, they're young, but I don't know how good they are. And now you look at our rotation, and I feel like you should have a lot more confidence as a Braves fan, knowing Fried with another year under his belt, Ian Anderson and the confidence he got, Mike mentioned Morton and Smiley. You're getting veteran guys who know how to win. I think Smiley is moving in the right direction. I don't think he's on the downtick, but we'll see when the season rolls around. And then, you know, obviously Soroka coming back. So you got to feel better about those things, and I think that's why people still are picking us to win this division. But if they're not picking us, I really believe they think either the Mets or the Nationals, Mike, are going to be right there, at least as wild card contenders when this thing rolls around. So I do think Bryce Harper's on to what, you know, something as far as how competitive this division is going to be. And by the way, that could mean for some really fun baseball, because that means teams don't like each other, because they know every time they match up, it could mean winning or losing this division. I love that tension.
We've already got that vibe with the Marlins. Yes. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. That's been going on for years. You know, I mean, when Brian McCann came back, you know, I mean, when Jose Fernandez, it goes all the way back, you know, with that team. So, yeah, and we don't like anybody up there in New York or Philly. and the Nats, I'm neutral on the Nats. I got no problem with the Nats. They don't confront me. I just get sick and tired sometimes of seeing that pitching, because it seems like, my God, every night you're going up against the guy who's got unbelievable Cy Young stuff.
All right, man, what do you guys think? Our poll is up, by the way. It's at Dukes and Bell 929. We've been asking you today about Brian Snicker. And listen, I don't think there's any debate. There are some people who say, oh, I don't know why they gave him an extension this year. It should have been next year. They should have waited. But go vote on our poll, and it's pretty easy. Are you happy that the Braves decided to extend Snit? And, you know, you can say, yeah, no, or, hey, we need a new face. And to Mike's point, Mike and I had this conversation earlier about the organization and its tendency to stay in-house, to stay within the family, right? And that's we say this because we're talking about Bobby Cox and the right. tentacles that Bobby Cox, all the people that he's had a chance to reach. Right. And so they've not done that. The Freddie, you know, Mike, when Bobby Cox left, they didn't do that. Right?
No, I mean, you know, it's all guys that had experience, you know, with the Braves. They're actually on the Braves bench. They were the Braves bench coach, all this. Look, and that's why I'm telling you, we always get into, like, there's the world you want and there's the world you live in. The Braves are never going to go hire a guy like Joe Maddon, okay? That was just never going to happen. The Braves are they keep it in-house. The guys work. Look, yeah, does he maybe take some of the young pitchers out too soon? Yeah. I think that's a problem in all of baseball. It cost the Rays the World Series this year, you know, pitch counts and all that nonsense. I just think my only beef with Snitker is let some of these young pitchers pitch out of jams. If you don't believe me, believe John Smoltz because he says it every time he comes on the show last year. That's my only beef, but he's done a great – think of all the different lineups, Carl, all the different things he's had to contend with, the pitching this last year. I mean, he's done a good job.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. Steve Coonan's on the way. As we mentioned, Hayden Hurst came on the show, and we'll replay a little bit of that for you as well in regards to what he had to say about the Falcons. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conte. Draper League games are just about to get started for the Braves, who will face the Tampa Bay Rays Sunday to start a month's worth of exhibition games. Brian Snitker says his team is ready to get started.
I think compared to the last couple of years, we'll have had three or maybe even four more workouts before we play than we did in the last couple of years.
The Braves announced today that they've signed Snitker to a contract extension through the 2023 season, with a club option for 2024. It's the Hawks and the Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City with pregame coverage starting at 7:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Hawks have four games left before the All-Star break, all of them on the road. If they win all four, they would get back to the 500 mark. College basketball tonight has Georgia State at South Alabama, Georgia Southern at home against Appalachian State, and Kennesaw State hosting Florida Gulf Coast. Tomorrow, Georgia Tech hosts Syracuse, Georgia hosts South Carolina. WNBA's Atlanta Dream has been sold to a three-member investor group, including former Dream player Renee Montgomery. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conte from the Kia Studios. On your home of tonight's Hawks Thunder game, tip off at 8, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Coonan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We do it each and every week. We get a chance to talk to the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. His name is Steve Coonan. It's brought to you by Kumho Tires. And Steve, Mike, and I, we have a problem today. Can you help us?
I am here to serve, unless I don't want to.
Mike told me earlier this hour, that Kevin Durant's going to be out in the All-Star game. And
went to Sabonis.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Because Durant plays a forward position, as does Sabonis.
Ooh.
Steve, it's positionless basketball in the NBA today. Come on.
I didn't say we didn't make calls.
All right. I
mean, fair enough.
You know,
fair
I
enough.
Mean, we had the numbers, though, as we said, and I know we're preaching to the choir on this one, but we had the stats about where Trey is at and historically where point guards are who have got the numbers that Trey have gotten. They always make the All-Star team. 25-plus points, 9-plus assists, 30 years. A guy has those numbers. He's in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I voted a whole lot. I spent most of my time voting.
Click, click, click.
And I'm actually not kidding. I spent a lot of time voting. And unfortunately, it did not fall our way, but there is still a week to go in the season, and there's some other activities at the game. But Trae Young deserves to be an All-Star. I don't think there's any question about it.
So the second half of the season, let's talk about the scheduling and how the NBA did this. It came out the other day. I saw that stretch of games. I want to say, and I don't have it in front of me, the end of March. It's like March 20th through the end of March.
And we're on nine games on the West Coast.
Yes. Mm. And I understand with COVID how the traveling played a role in this. But that's brutal, Steve.
Yeah, again, I'm with you. We both line up. This stinks. You know, everything you've talked about, I can't argue, fuss, or fight with you, which is disappointing. I agree with you. We've got, in order, Lakers, Clippers, Sacramento, Golden State, Denver, Phoenix, and San Antonio, and we end with New Orleans within 2 weeks of each other. So every other night, traveling, taking a plane. The positive side of the coin, though, because we don't want to have a negative Friday show, right, is that seven of our last eight games are at home. And, you know, if I would have told you, this is just a crazy year. If you would have said to me, you can be two games out of fourth place at the All-Star break, I would have said, done. You wouldn't have even gotten the word breakout. I would have said, done. We're two games out of fourth.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it just, look, Steve, it's, you spent $150 million. I go to the car dealership. I want all four tires to work together. You know what I mean? It's just, we know we got to be patient.
The guy who spent it, I agree with you.
All right, I mean, look.
We're not arguing.
All right, fine. It's a no-conflict Friday, Carl, with Steve Koenig brought you by Kumho Tires.
Not. My goodness gracious, we're going to have to come up with something.
Yeah.
All right, I got something. I got it. Carl, I can ratchet up the tension.
Let's go, baby.
So you and I, we talked about this a lot. Yeah, I know you don't want anybody creating a super spreader event, but I was on Twitter today arguing with folks about it. We couldn't have a few 50,000, 75,000 people come in and help the restaurants and the hotels for NBA All-Star Weekend a little bit?
You know, probably not, but I thought you were going to go another direction.
Mm.
We at the NBA are not going to have fans. This is a ticketless event.
Right.
We're not going to do any parties. We're not going to do any festivals. What's the biggest party next weekend?
I don't know. What?
Shaquille O'Neal's birthday party.
Oh, okay.
Shaktus. Gotcha.
Yeah. Kind of doesn't feel like our good friend Shaq got the memo.
I got the memo. I just don't care.
Exactly.
I know. Big fella.
I'm partying.
I got
Steve.
Five doses.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yes. that is crazy. Yes, and Mike hit me with that earlier, and I said, we are trying to limit these parties. They're still going to happen. Some of these are still going to happen. But like you said, it's not the NBA advertising and saying, hey, we're throwing it down in the ATL. That's the difference. I think there's a difference between that and embracing it versus this is not that weekend, you know?
Right. I mean, I was very happy that Adam Silver put out a statement yesterday in his interview with the AJC, and he basically said, what the Hawks are doing to help us now will not be forgotten well into the future. You know, the quote is, we've already awarded the next few years, assuming things return to normal and we're back to doing the traditional All-Star weekend. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt there's a bonus in the Hawks column for holding All-Star this year. So we will have All-Star in Atlanta, full tilt boogie, party all night long, Shaq's birthday, anniversary, you know, bar mitzvah, it doesn't matter. But for now, we're going to abide by the rules. We're going to ask everybody to be really smart. And let's put on a great hospitable show for the few people who come to town.
All right.
Steve, Kyrie Irving put out on Instagram, you probably saw it or at least heard by now, the idea that the NBA logo should be Kobe. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know if you feel like the logo should change at all. We've discussed this, I say we, as in the sports community for years. It was when Michael retired, people said Michael should be the logo. We've had these kind of discussions. What is your opinion on the logo and then honoring Kobe the way that Kyrie believes it should happen?
So I'll start with the honoring Kobe. Ironically, the name of the MVP award of the All-Star game – next weekend. No party in Atlanta. Is the Kobe Bryant most valuable player.
Mm.
The Elon ending of the game is a predicted score plus 24 points to honor Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
I do think it merits some real consideration to what Kyrie said. Mm. Just for contemporary.
Yes.
Right. And let's be honest. That logo came out, nobody knew it was Jerry West for years.
You're right.
It was not an honor to Jerry West. It was like, hey, we need a guy who, you know, an image. So I would say it's an image. So do we want to move the logo from an image to an honor? Sure. Why not?
I mean, you could argue that you could rotate other stars. You could put Kareem up there. I mean, I know that Kobe obviously is in everybody's hearts and minds, you know, in this last year. But it's just, it's something that's up there. I mean, I don't think, and first, I don't think Jerry West gives two flips either way. But, yeah, it's something that certainly, and now with digital and everything else, you can do this. You can produce the uniforms and everything else you wanted to if you do it on a monthly basis.
So can I tell you a quick story? I know we got to go in a second.
Please do.
So during the pandemic, you know, we're all on Zoom. You guys are at home. We're all on Zoom, and during my tenure at Turner & Coke, I was really lucky. I worked with a lot of teams and players, and they gave me nice gifts. And I'm looking at that stuff that I have kind of in my office and downstairs of our house, and I said, you know, it's time to go take this stuff and turn it into action. So I went to Heritage Auctions, which are the leading auctioneers of sports memorabilia. And I sent them a bunch of the stuff I have. And the auction closes tomorrow, but there is a Kobe Bryant shoe, game-worn shoe that he gave me, addressed to Steve, that right now is being sold for $3,700. And every penny of that money, every penny, is going to Education in Georgia Charities.
Mm, very nice.
So that's awesome.
You know, and so there's a couple of Kobe balls. There's some Jordan stuff, all this stuff. You know, I hadn't even told anybody that I was doing it. But I do think if you've got stuff in your house, if you've got memories, and if you want to kind of make it stand for a higher purpose, go put it on for auction and put that money to work to help people. So when you talk about Kobe, I'm a huge Kobe fan. I would do this tomorrow. But I do think you have to balance the present, the past, and the future. And then, is it an image or is it an honor? So I apologize for the long way.
No, but thanks
for the opportunity,
Carl,
guys.
And real quick, Carl, while we got Steve here, Steve worked with Coca-Cola, guys, your relationship with Kobe vis-a-vis Sprite. And for those who don't know, Steve was also a big television executive for years with Turner. Carl and I brought this up earlier. Real quick, just because you're a media mogul type, what was your impression of how ESPN and Disney got the deal done with the NFL? Because a week ago, it sounded like it was dead in the water.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of options for either one of them, meaning Disney would have had to give back about 30% of your cable bill every month. Big rebate. And there's not a whole lot of TV networks, especially what's happening in television, with $2.5 billion laying around annually. So they're going to pay about $135 million a game. And that's going to be passed on to the viewer, the cable viewer. So it's you know, look, I love our football. I'm really interested to see where Sunday Ticket lands.
Yeah.
I heard YouTube, which scares me a little bit to have it solely on a streaming service, you know, because I don't want to be, you know, see the spinning wheel. I want to see some damn football. It's the future. And yes, they both needed each other. And rarely do you see it get negotiated in the media. That's where it got like, wow, this must be a little nasty. That doesn't happen quite often.
I want to ask you something before we let you go.
Sure.
Stooks and
I'm
Bell.
In no rush.
Me neither. It's Friday.
Thank God. I'll do another
segment. I'm curious because I'm sitting here, and you really got me thinking, because I have a lot of memorabilia. I have a lot of stuff that I've gotten from guys over the years and relationships. I do have a Kobe item. And I don't want to sound morbid, but now there's no way I would give it up because I know I can never get it again. And I
never
know,
said I gave up all.
Well, that's my question to you, because I was curious to know, and I'm sitting here thinking, If I had other items, I certainly would do exactly what you're saying. And I have some stuff from guys that multiple, you know, things that they've signed, and they're worth something. But I'm thinking now with you know, and by the way, Kobe didn't sign a lot of stuff, guys. I'm telling you, he just didn't. He wasn't one of these guys where you could, you know, he was going to sit out. He signed, I would say, appropriately considering, you know, with the kids. But he wasn't a guy that was going to sit down and sign a whole lot. So when you got something, it's very worthy or valuable, should I say. So, yeah, I was just curious, Steve, about that because it's great what you're doing. And yeah, that you have other items from him, that changes my question. So that's what I was curious
about. Quick funny story. I submitted that item, and it's a signed hat from the All-Star Game in 2002 in Philly that Michael Jordan signed, Dr. J signed, and Kobe signed. They were, sweet. You know, came in the TNT green room, and they signed it, and I still even have the tags on it. And when I submitted it, somebody at the auction house said, we don't think this is real. And I went, okay, I'll take that one back.
Yeah, because they are never in the same place together. That's why somebody, you know, we don't believe this. Yeah.
I literally have pictures in the room with them.
I know.
But it was like, you know what? I think that's just somebody telling me to hold on to this one.
Good call. Steve Coonan, thank you. We appreciate it. Next week, guys.
Yeah, we'll do our all-star
That's right.
Goat party version of our radio show.
appreciate you. Tonight, right. By the way, Hawks, Oklahoma City, and then we got three more games next week. Let's get above 500 here before the break, and hopefully we can do that. Steve, thanks so much.
All right, everybody have a great, safe weekend.
All right, man. Good stuff from Steve Coonan. Interesting stuff there about the TV rights, Mike.
What a story. And again, I apologize. I didn't realize, you know, we can talk more about Kobe. But, yeah, he's got that's something I would never in a million years part with. I mean, I know what you're saying. It's a great cause, but some things you just can't give up.
Yeah, well, and if I knew, and this again, I don't want to sound morbid, but if I knew he was here
right.
and I might have a chance to see him again, that's different.
Right.
It's not happening. So, anyways.
I know. You know me, bro. I got Hank Aaron looking at me,
I know.
Sitting next to me with a nice, perfect spot for his signature. Never going to get it.
Right. You had talked about it for months leading up to Henry's passing away. All right, man. We're going to get into the Falcon Report. We got a lot more stuff to dive into, including Brian Snicker's extension. Man, it's a Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Send us your picks. We want to know what you're cooking for the weekend. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.